He said, when he, the Spirit, I know I'm talking fast, but I got to get there. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will testify of me. When you are redeemed and when you are paid for and when you're filled with the Spirit of God, that Spirit will testify that Jesus Christ really is who he said he is. Every religion in this world is based on what their leader taught. Christianity is not based on what our leader taught, it is based on who our leader is. He said he was the Son of God. And if that is not true, everything he said is amiss and it doesn't matter. But he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. There is no other leader, there's no other religious figure that has ever raised himself from the dead, but there is one, and his name is Jesus, and I'm here to tell you, he was exactly who he said he was. We have an enemy. Whew, man, that's a lot. We have an enemy. And because we have an enemy, we deal with a struggle. Every day ain't Candyland. Every day is not peaches and cream. We have an enemy. That enemy is against us. Paul called him the prince of the power of the air. You look that word up, the word air there is lower atmosphere. We understand that the devil has some influence in this world. Say that again. The devil has a way of influencing people through talk. But the devil's a liar. Not only is he a liar, the Bible says he's the father of every single lie that has ever been told originates with the devil. He lies to you and tells you things that are not true so that you will forfeit what God has ordained you to walk in. Let me give you some examples. Well, you're not doing good enough in your Christian walk. Well, you're not really who you say you are. Well, you said you were this, but then you did that, and that forfeits who you are. How many times has the enemy told you that you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not holy enough, you're none of that? I'm here to give you the contrary. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are holy enough. We fight this enemy, Sam, in this atmosphere that we walk in. I wish that every person in this room that is saved could realize who you really are in Christ. I'm not going to barely make it to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I'm going to make it by and through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that's just not enough. That is more than enough. How do I know that? Because he didn't make me a conqueror. He made me more than a conqueror. I love the way one preacher said it. He said, there is a debt that we could not pay. Jesus came, $100 million debt. Or you got a million dollar debt. I come to you and I give you $1 million and I pay that debt. You are thankful that I paid the debt. The debt has been paid. Amen? And we're excited about that. But if that's what we think religion is or we think Christianity is, we got it mixed up. When Jesus came, you had a debt of $1 million. He gave you $101 million. He didn't give you enough just to pay the debt. Though your debt has been paid, now you've not been called just to have life. You've been called to have life more abundantly. You don't have just enough to pay the debt. You've got enough to pay the debt and still worship. And the fact that you got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. But I'm really excited about what he's going to do. The prince of the power of the air. Interesting story. 1920s, 1930s. They begin to send preaching across the radio. And these people were determined that it would fail and that it would never prosper. They said, because you are sending this preaching across the airwaves where the devil is the prince of the power of the air, it is doomed to fail. They really believed that the enemy had so much power of the air that if they sent the radio waves through the air, that the enemy could stop them. We got a misperception of the devil if we think because he's the prince of the power of the air that he can stop the word of God because it's going through. If that's the case, then we can't preach another, because everything we do moves air. Amen. The devil can't stand you breathing. You know why? Because every time you breathe, you move air to where he is the prince of the power of the air. Man, this is awesome. I think I'll start breathing heavier. Just to make him mad. What are you doing? I'm just moving air. Just because he can't stand the fact that you're alive. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Used to make me nervous when I was a young Christian, because I knew that the enemy was coming. But then I realized something. The enemy doesn't try to steal something unless he sees something that is worth stealing. He doesn't try to kill unless he realizes there is life. And he doesn't try to destroy if nothing is being built up. But I'm here to tell you, there's a spirit that's moving in the children of God that isn't tearing things down, but it's edification and it's building things up. Well, we know this, preacher. I know you do. But we need reminded who we are in Jesus. I got to be really careful here, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. The word spirit in the Greek is pneuma. The word spirit in the Greek is pneuma. You got my ratchet? Go grab it. It was in the car. Did you get it? Yeah, let me see that thing. Just it. Man, I've been working with my hands my whole life. I want to take just a minute and thank God for impact wrenches. Can I get an amen from you fellas? I hate that sound. Come here, Jason, work this thing. Yeah, turn around to everybody, to you ladies that may not know. This is a ratchet. This is a socket. Show them how it works. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And let me tell you what moves this thing. This little area right in here. Now, if it gets a little difficult, we have what we call a cheater bar. It gives you more leverage out here, but I promise you it makes the same sound. Keep going. I'm going to see how long you can last. You've been doing this your whole life? All day. All day. Probably. He said, I can do this all day. Probably. Let's put a bolt in there with a little bit of tension on it. Can you do it all day then? No, that's the problem. We're fighting a battle. And in this battle, we struggle. And here's what we got to be careful of. I know people, I know one guy in particular that hand nails everything he builds. Everything he builds. He doesn't understand pneuma. Because the word pneuma, spirit, means wind. Oh, let me get this to you. Let me get to you. Keep going, Jason. The word spirit means wind. Look it up, and you'll see in the Greek, pneuma means wind. Or, you got my definition, Shane? Let me put it up here. Here you go. Pneuma. Wind, movement of air, of the wind, hence the wind itself. Breath of nostrils or mouth. Let me tell you what wind does. Wind moves air. You say, no, wind is the movement of air. No, wind will move the air. So you've got this air that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Let me tell you what moves the enemy out of his place and out of your way. It's the Spirit of God, or the pneuma, or the wind of God that moves the enemy from his place to where he belongs. Let me put this in perspective. On the day of Pentecost, they were all in the upper room. They were in one accord, in one place. The Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The wind of God, the Spirit of God, moves the air out of the way. Are you with me? I want to preach to you, because here's the problem. The higher you get, the more easily the wind moves. Air density at elevation. Air loses density as you go higher. So the wind blows easier at high levels than it does at low levels. You say, no, that's things. No, it's air density. What are you saying? I'm saying, Brandon, if we're always down here in the atmosphere where the enemy reigns supreme, we got to get to a higher level so that the wind can flow more freely in our life. Come on, Sam. Where's Sam? Is that getting on anybody's nerves yet? Chrissy? You want to tell him to stop? Chrissy said stop. Pneuma, or wind, is where we get our word pneumatic. Pneuma, wind, pneumatic. How many turns do you think you did? Let me show you what's really awesome. I'm going to show you what's right. Hit that thing. I'd say you doubled his cranks. Do it again. Watch this. Watch this. Now look. You having fun, brother? I absolutely love that sound. I hate your sound. I love that sound. You know why? Because that's me working. That's him working. Oh, yeah. See, you got to hear this. I got a work to do, and I'm trying to do it, and my work's getting on people's nerves. What I'm trying to perform won't perform it. In my lifetime, I'll never get it done. What I need is the pneuma of God. I need the Spirit or the wind of God to do the work through me that I can't do on my own. I don't have time to finish this illustration, but hammer down. Yeah, I love it. How you guys go, oh. Man, I just love, I know this is a small air compressor. I know this is a small gun. It gets way better than this. When the tank holds more, the tool can do more. What we need to do is make our life more open and acceptable to the Spirit of God so that he can do more through us. Oh, man. Hold it down. Just hold it. Hang in there, brother. Hang in there. You're still running on wind. Hang in there. What happened? Oh, he found him a little bit more. Ooh, glory. That thing won't do anything at that point. Now, what you got to do to get this thing back to its power, it's designed to do, is you got to plug it back up. You got to find a source that can move the air. long, too long. It's your dad. He will not use a pneumatic gun. No, he won't. I've watched Willie. He will not do it. This man, his father-in-law hand nails every door jamb he's ever put in. I'm like, kapow, kapow, kapow. He won't do it, Willie. Never seen him use a pneumatic gun. I need to give him a revelation. Because, man, I'm going to tell you right now, if Chrissy would allow you to keep going, it won't take long that you get wore out. And you know the problem is we got people and we're trying to tell them that they got to do this on their own. I'm here to tell you the pneuma or the wind of God wants to step in and do the work for you. But here's what happens. Let me see your socket. Look at that socket. Man, that's chrome plated socket. It's beautiful. This is a different type of socket. You know what this is called? It's called an impact socket. You know why? Because it's got to be sturdier to handle this. Let me tell you what happens. If we try to get this to move through what looks pretty and what's appealing to the people, it's not able to handle the pressure. We got to get it. We got to get something that'll handle the pressure of the Spirit, and that's a renewed nature. That you can't put new wine in an old bottle. You got to have a new bottle. Plug it up, Sam. You thought that got on your nerves. Hang on, Chrissy. Hey, let me tell you what's happened sometimes. We've been remodeling our house. Left one of these things plugged up. Yeah, imagine that at 3:00 in the morning and you forgot you left it plugged up. It's a little noisy, ain't it? I said it's a little noisy, isn't it? Let me tell you what happens. When you get plugged into the power of God, you're going to make a little bit of noise. And Christy, I don't want to be mean to you, but at this point, you got to stop caring if you get on people's nerves or not. When you get in a church service and you got to get the wind of God in your life and you begin to worship and people look over at you, you say, you don't understand what I got to deal with. I need God Almighty moving in my life. I can't get this done by myself. Are you so ready, ain't you? It's so much better when you're plugged into the source. I knew it would. I knew it would. Set it up. We got electricians in this church. We got a bunch of them. Go ahead. Fix that thing. Because you know what we need? We need to stay connected so that we can get the work done. We're trying to be tough and get it done ourselves. You know what happens? It ain't going to handle it. We'll set this place on fire, maybe literally. People look at you and they say, what's that all about? I'm connected to the source. I got to get the Spirit of God moving in my life. Why? Because I'm fighting the prince of the power of the air. But I can take the pneuma of God and use the wind of the Holy Spirit to do the work through me. What do you got to do? I just got to hold on to what He's already given me and let it take place. Amen. I got to hurry. Let it roll. John 3:6-8. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it. Yeah. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Let me put that in not so ancient English. The wind blows where it wants to blow. This is speaking of the Spirit of God. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes from or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When you are born of the Spirit, you are born of the pneuma. That means the air, the prince of the power of the air, has no power over you because you've been born of the Spirit. Let me say it like this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what the prince of the power of the air has to say. I've got the Spirit of Almighty God working in me, and I'm able to overcome that prince. Don't ever buy a Craftsman air compressor. Thank you, Jesus. This process goes over and over and over and over. The only thing that doesn't make it happen so repetitively is when you have a bigger tank. When we begin to expand what we are able to hold, God can do more through us. But what we have to understand is it's not this. It's not the work that we are doing, it's the work that he is doing through us. Amen. We got to let the wind blow, because we're not going to get this done any other way. For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not works of righteousness that we have done, lest any man should boast. You're not able to boast. Oh, you did.
All day, baby, all day.
Wait a minute, what did you say that? What was the first thing you said? I've been what? I've been doing this my whole life. That's the problem. We got people sitting in churches, and because they've been doing things the way they've been doing things their whole life, they think that's the way. I'm here to tell you, I got a new wind about to blow through this place, and it's going to do a work that I don't care how long you've been cranking on it. Let the wind blow. I got to share this with you. I heard a preacher preaching a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about, I don't know exactly where he lived, but he said they have a pirate ship that goes up and down the coast of the beach where he lives. And he said, they got the sails and they got all this stuff set up. And he said, they shoot cannons every so often. It's just like a little thing that they do right there on that beach. Has anybody ever seen it? Does anybody know where he's talking about? Nobody? That's because the only place y'all go is Myrtle Beach, because this is where they have marketed that to us West Virginia people so well. When people say they're going to the beach, Dustin, you don't even ask where they're going. They're talking about Myrtle. North Myrtle, where all the put places are. I don't know exactly where this beach is, but he's talking about this, and he said this pirate ship, he said he's out there praying on the beach, and he said he hates it when they shoot them cannons. And it's a pirate ship, and it's a sailboat. He said, but it's not really a sailboat. He said they got four motors in this thing that drives it so they can take it wherever they want to take it. It looks like the wind is pushing it, but the wind's not pushing it. They put something mechanical in it to make it push. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the church should be moved by the wind of the Spirit, but we can't handle it that way. We got to be able to control it, turn it the way we want to turn it, make it go. So we do mechanical means, and through our mechanical things that we do, we try to control the way the ship is going. But I remember as a kid, they used to sing about the ship of Zion, and it didn't have no motors. It had wind that moved and caught the sails, and if we let the Spirit move us, we're going to get something done for the kingdom of God. Come on, Aaron. Pneuma. To all you men in here, you will never use an impact wrench the same again. As a matter of fact, you ought to hit it and go, thank you, Jesus. Let the wind blow through your life. Let the Spirit, you can say, I know you've worked hard. Thank you. No, I knew you was going to crank it again. I knew it. Here, hold that for him. Look at you. You can't do it again. I'm telling you, it's not that bad, is it? Yeah, it's not that bad when you're doing it, is it? That's how it works in worship, Chrissy. You get on everybody's nerves when you're worshiping, but when you're the one that's worshiping, you say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if I get on nerves. This is me doing this. It's different when you're doing it. Put it up. Such a weak little compressor. Man, if we could get this in perspective and realize how awesome God wants to move through us. Why are you still working for it when he's already provided it? All you got to do is plug into it. You need to get plugged into the Spirit of God. Your doctrine is great, but without the Spirit, your doctrine won't help you. Your philosophy is good, but without the Spirit, the philosophy will do us no good. Your theology may be on point, but let me tell you what all that's going to do. It's going to get you tired. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, you ever been tired in your Christian walk? You ever made this statement? Got to go to church Sunday. I just want to sleep in. I don't know how it works. Maybe it's just an adult thing. But my bed is so comfortable. Way more comfortable in the mornings than when I lay down at night. Can I get a witness? I don't know what the devil does. Maybe he fluffs it up on Sunday morning. Maybe he don't bother me on Sunday morning. Maybe he's like, just let him rest. Just let him rest. I heard a story of a man, he didn't want to go to church. Woke up on Sunday morning. He said, I'm not going. His wife said, honey, let's go. He said, I am not going. He said, nobody down there likes me. He said, I get on their nerves. Nobody's nice to me. I'm sick of it. He said, I'm not going to church. She said, honey, you have to go. He said, give me one reason. You just give me one reason why I should go to church. She said, honey, you're the pastor. Man, Sunday mornings are awesome, ain't they? Here's how it works. I get up between 4 and 4:30. And you know what happens on Sunday mornings? I wake up between 4 and 4:30, and I tell myself to stop doing that. I just won't listen. So this morning, I got up, I went in the living room at 4:20, sit on the couch, and started reading the Bible. Have you ever read your Bible like this? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, I really need to read this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Man, you really want to read it, but man, finally got all that cleared up. And this is what them old preachers won't tell you. They all say, yeah, I got up at 4:30 this morning. Them guys down at Hardee's, you get under them old man sitting around talking about whose lawnmower's the fastest, what time they got up. They'll brag. I got up 3:30 this morning. They don't tell you they went back to bed. I'm going to tell you, I went back to bed. I studied, and I read all of this, and I wrote all my notes down so I could send them to Shane and have my scriptures. And I said, you know what, God? I really believe what I'm preaching. I really believe what I've just read. Now I'm going to go rest in it. I'm not even going to work for this sermon. I'm going to let you take care of it. Darren, I think we need to learn how to rest in the Spirit. Let God do the work. We're going to sing a song. This is what we do for our visitors. We're going to sing a song, and here's how this works. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to something you've heard. Maybe a song moved you. Maybe God spoke to you directly. Maybe he's dealing with you right now. If God has spoken to you at any moment or dealt with your heart on any level, That is such an amazing privilege that the God of this universe would talk to us. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? If he dealt with you on any level, we want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. If you need to come up here to the altar and pray, come and pray. We'll pray with you. If you need somebody to pray for you, there will be men standing right here that if you just walk up and stand here, we're going to pray for you. Why do we do that? Because we don't want you to walk out of here the same way you walked in here. And if you brought something in here that's been troubling you, we want to use the pneuma or the spirit or the wind of God to blow that thing right back out of here. We're praying for you in the name of Jesus, knowing that he's able. As they sing a song, if you need to come, come. If not, stand to your feet and worship, because you know that the Spirit of God is doing something in your life that you can't do.